This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Well, the Holy Father has been in the news in recent days. What has was the main focus of Pope Francis's Wednesday audience this morning?
Yes, in fact, he has been in the news, especially because of the health issues that he is undergoing. He has had a lot of pain in his right knee. And in fact, yesterday on Tuesday, he canceled his appointments for the day. And we weren't really sure if we were going to see him today or not. In fact, yesterday was the third time in the last 5 days that the Pope has had to cancel his duties. And that is because of this recurring knee pain that's been going on for a number of months. It seems to have gotten worse. Lately, although on Monday of this week, he sort of played it down a little bit and joked that it was nothing more than what he called nuns' knees. This is kind of an Italian joke referring to nuns on their knees in prayer. But indeed, he was there today. He did sit for the entire audience, which is typical. That is what happens on Wednesdays. So he was able to be there. And as apropos for what he is dealing with personally, he continued his catechesis on the meaning and the value of old age. And today, John, he looked to the book of Ruth. He called that book a jewel, and he noted that the book sheds light on the beauty of family bonds, and it's those bonds that also unite society and lead to the growth of society. So he started by reflecting on the elderly widow Naomi, and he recounted the relationship of love and of mutual support between Naomi and her daughter-in-law, who's Ruth. And he spoke about what happened in the story, how it unfolded when Naomi, who was living in a foreign land, lost both of her sons. She was then alone as a foreigner, and despite her grief, she then encouraged her two daughters-in-law to remain there amongst their own people and said that she would then return to Bethlehem alone, which was her native town. And Pope Francis described Naomi's request as a gesture that he called an act of love. But what happens then, of course, is Ruth makes the decision not to abandon her mother-in-law and accompanies Naomi to Judah, telling her, "Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." And of course, that line is so beautiful and even special and poignant in my own family, because when my parents got married 51 years ago, my mom gave my dad a wooden jewelry box with the inscription of those very words, "Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." But at that point in today's audience, Pope Francis spoke about how both women then began a new chapter in their lives. From that moment onwards, Ruth was supporting Naomi. Naomi, in turn, helping Ruth even to find a new husband, who was, of course, Boaz. And that led to the birth of their son, Obed, who was the father of Jesse. And because of that union, the Pope said Naomi, in her old age, knew the joy of being part of a new generation and a new birth. And he went on to say that this sort of thing can happen only in a society that respects the dignity and the gifts of each of its members, however young or old they are. And he said that if the young open themselves to gratitude for what they've received, if the elderly take the initiative of what he called relaunching their future, then nothing can stop the flourishing of God's people and his blessings. And so he left the audience today recommending that young people talk to their grandparents and to their elders, and that old people talk to young people. And if all do this, this will foster a harmony and it will build a bridge amongst the generations. He also urged families and mothers-in-law to bring out the best in each other. And he urged all of the faithful today to rediscover the Book of Ruth.
Great insights by the Holy Father, who continues to show the heart that he has for grandparents and the elderly. A wonderful audience for the Holy Father. Now, last week, the Pope canceled a scheduled meeting with the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill. What is going on with that, and what does it mean for Catholic Orthodox relations, Ashley?
Right. It came as a surprise to many that this would happen. Now, the cancellation, as far as Russian Orthodox relations with the church, the Vatican has said many, many times that relations are very good, but the decision was made to cancel that meeting out of a concern that there might be some confusion with the two leaders coming together. Now, what happened was when Pope Francis had called for Moscow to stop the war in Ukraine, the Patriarch Kirill had expressed support, personal support for the Russian invasion. And Pope Francis told the Argentinian newspaper La Nación that he was very sorry that the meeting had to be what he called suspended. But they realized that a diplomatic encounter could create confusion. But again, relations are very good, and we will wait to see when that meeting will be reinstated in the future, John.
As we heard from journalist Anatoly Babinski just a few minutes right before we joined you, Ashley, apparently there have been hundreds of priests, of Orthodox priests, who are asking that the Patriarch Kirill actually be tried for heresy because they are so up in arms at what's going on, the fact that he blessed the Russian soldiers and so on. So there's a whole controversy going on within the Orthodox themselves.
Yes, lots of complex layers here for sure. And it will be interesting to hear more from Patriarch Kirill on this and to see how this all plays out.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that it's going to cost some money from now on to
Yeah.
visit one of your favorite cities, Venice.
That's
What's going
right. We
on?
all be We're going to have to start saving just to go to Venice. So what happened was this is something that the Venetians have been discussing for a while, but Easter weekend was absolutely packed in Venice. In fact, about 140,000 people entered into the city on Easter Sunday alone. The next day, an additional 100,000 came on Easter Monday, which is, of course, a national holiday here as well. So the Venice feels that they just cannot support, they don't have the infrastructure to support these many people. And so they're going to have a two phases of changes in Venice. The first phase is that reservations are going to become compulsory if you want to enter the island. So that's going to start at some point this summer, probably more near the end of the summer. The second phase is that in 2023, visitors will have to now pay an entry fee in order to enter into Venice. So the details of how much, the details of how this is going to happen, it's all being worked out. But the mayor of Venice is saying that this is the way forward in this lagoon city, and it's the only way to continue to make sure that Venice can control and support the number of tourists. Of course, everybody wants to visit this beautiful city, and they're looking to find a way to make that possible, John.
Ashley, how are the folks reacting? Have you heard anything?
No, actually, haven't seen much reaction quite yet. But I think that if I know Italians well, we'll get a pretty fiery response to this. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see it all go back and forth. But I'll certainly keep you posted.
Well, as we've always said, the Italians know how to celebrate, and today there's yet another reason to celebrate. It's the Feast of Saint Rita. What's going on in Rome with Saint Rita?
Well, actually, it's close. It's the Feast of Saint Zita.
I'm sorry,
And
Zita. I'm so sorry.
yes, exactly. Well, a little bit more of an uncommon one, right? We all know Saint Rita of Cascia, but Saint Zita comes from Lucca. And Saint Zita is the patroness of domestic workers. Now, she w was a very sweet young girl. She died in 1272. And just as a peasant girl at the age of 12, she went to work for a wealthy local family in Lucca. And she was always known for her bright and sunny personality, for her really, really good work ethic. And she would also give leftover bread that the family was going to throw away as scraps. She would save it and give it to the poor. Now, eventually, she became the head housekeeper, and the family began to notice that there was a whole series of miracles that seemed to just move around her. And they seem to be connected to her faith, her piety, and also her hard work. Now, there's a story that one day when she was bringing out some of the old scraps of bread of the family, a fellow servant ran to go tell on her and say, oh, she's stealing bread. But when the head of the family then opened up her apron, expecting all the bread to spill out, instead of bread, only flowers fell to the ground. And John is on a personal note here. On the Feast of All Saints, my husband John and I went to an All Saints costume party, and I dressed as Saint Zita, and I wore an apron, and I pinned artificial flowers to it, reminding us of that miracle when her apron opened. And I also pinned a little transparent baggie of flour to my apron, because there were other stories that when she would be out tending to the poor, the angels would be in the kitchen finishing her chores, such as baking the bread. And it was a really neat thing, because on the bus on the way home, a woman came up to me and she said, why do you have an apron on and flowers pinned and a bag of flour hanging from your apron? And it was such a great opportunity to evangelize right there at the bus and tell her all about Saint Zita and the miracles. And by the end of the bus ride, we hugged and said goodbye. And so it was just another neat way that Saint Zita is still working today. Now, her body is incorrupt. And so in other words, it has not deteriorated. So when any members of our Relevant Radio family are visiting Lucca, make sure to visit the tomb of Saint Zita. To celebrate this day, Tuscan families bake bread and they give them to their neighbors, remembering her, what she would do and the way that she would reach out to people. There's always also a flower market on this day there in Lucca in San Frediano Square, remembering the miracle of the flowers. So Saint Zita, pray for us.
Absolutely. And if you have a photo of you in your Saint Zita of Lucca costume, that will be quite entertaining for our listeners.
I will send it over, John.
Sounds great. Another feast coming up this Friday, the 29th, is the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena, Doctor of the Church, and co-patron of Italy and Europe. Now, how is that celebration typically done?
Oh, you know what? She is so beloved here because, as you mentioned, along with St. Francis of Assisi, she is the co-patron of Italy. So the Italians just love her so much. And also, as you brought up, John, she is a patron of Europe. In 1999, Pope St. John Paul II declared her as such. And she is called, we know her, as St. Catherine of Siena. And that's because she was born in Siena in 1347, although not many people realize that her body is in Rome. She's actually entombed right here, although her head is in Siena.
We were there.
So,
we were there.
Yes, were
during
there?
Our honeymoon, we visited, and I knew that her body was in two different places.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's a very interesting story attached to it. It's said that when she passed away in Rome, and actually you can even go to the spot where she died, and when she passed away here, the people of Siena said, wait a minute, she's our townswoman. We want her here. So the story goes that they stole away into Rome and by the cover of night stole her head. And word got out quickly that her head had been stolen. A roadblock was set up. This group of Sienese travelers were stopped on the road. But when they were forced to open their bag, instead of the head, their bag was filled with flowers. When they arrived in Siena, then the head was there and her head remains there to this day. But here in Rome at the Church of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva, she is entombed. And what happens on her special feast day on the 29th is that the glass box that surrounds her sepulcher there under the main altar, it's opened. And you can actually go in and touch her sepulcher. You can pray there. You can there's a little kneeler, so you can kneel in prayer. And I'm going to be taking some guests from Denver with me there on Friday. And she is the patroness of communicators. So she's your patroness, John. She's mine. I'm going to be praying especially for the mission of Relevant Radio and for all of our Relevant Radio family right there. And she's also the patroness of the faculty where I teach, which is the Faculty of Communications at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross. So this wonderful saint who we know is taking good care of all of us, and I'm sure it's thanks to her intercession too that Relevant Radio is managing to reach so many places all over the world and touch so many hearts and lives.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.